Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our epistle reading from Philippians chapter 3, but I want to add 4 verse 1 as well. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. There before the grace of God go I. How many of you have heard that saying? That saying sort of reminds us that we ought not to look down on people whom are suffering, either from their own sins or from the sins of the world, because that saying reminds us that if it wasn't for God's grace, that person might be us. Now, that saying is attributed to Dwight L. Moody. However, he's not the first one to coin it. It goes back several hundred years to an English church reformer by the name of John Bradford, who died in 1555. One day, while seeing several prisoners being led to their execution, he said, "There before the grace of God goes John Bradford." Well, let me tell you a little bit about John Bradford. In 1550, during the reign of King Edward VI of England, a Protestant king, Bradford was ordained a priest in the Church of England, and his position was a roving chaplain. Following Edward's death in 1553, Mary Tudor ascended to the throne. Now, you may know Mary by her nickname, Bloody Mary. Now, Mary Tudor's allegiances were not to the Church of England. They were to the papacy. So in the first month of her reign, she had Bradford, who was well known for his devotion to the Church of England, arrested and imprisoned on the trivial charge of inciting a mob. He was confined to the infamous Tower of London. During his time there, he continued writing his religious works, and he would preach the gospel, even in prison, to all who would listen. At one point during his imprisonment, he shared a cell with 3 other reformers, Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, Bishop Nicholas Ridley, the bishop who ordained Bradford, and then Hugh Latimer also, who was chaplain to the late King Edward. They spent their time in prison together, carefully studying the New Testament scriptures. Now, sometime during his imprisonment, he witnessed that group of prisoners being led to their execution. And that's when he said, "There before the grace of God goes John Bradford," which now has been changed slightly in our age to "There but for the grace of God go I." On January 31st, 1555, Bradford was tried and condemned to death, along with his fellow reformers. That summer, he was moved to Newgate Prison, where he was to be executed by burning at the stake. Chained to that stake, before the fire was lit, he begged forgiveness from those he had wronged, and he offered forgiveness to those who had wronged him. And then he turned to a young man who was chained to the stake with him and said, "Be of good comfort, brother, for we shall have a merry supper with the Lord this night." A writer of that period recorded that Bradford endured the flame as a fresh gale of wind in a hot summer's day, confirming by his death the truth of that doctrine he had so diligently and powerfully preached during his life. As Christ promised, the history of the church has been a history of persecution. First, persecution came from outside the church, but later, persecution came from within the church against those who, like John Bradford, took their stand on the pure gospel of Jesus Christ alone. We've been blessed as Christians to live in the nation whose constitution provides for religious freedom. But those days are coming to an end as our government, the media, and many in business now believe that the First Amendment is out of date, no longer applies. And so those who hold religious values, well, they are sued, they are fired from their jobs, or they are shouted into silence. The 20th century alone saw more Christian martyrs than all the previous 19 centuries combined. Yet the Apostle Paul, who suffered much for Christ, said, Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Stand firm. Stand firm in the face of persecution and all that the devil throws against you. But how? How in this age can a Christian stand firm? Where does he get the strength to stand firm in the Lord? Well, first of all, don't be surprised that persecution comes upon faithful Christians. We shouldn't be surprised at all that those who stand firm in the love of God and in the truth of His Word will be persecuted, as Jesus was, as Paul was, as the apostles were, because God's enemy is the devil. He is the father of lies, a murderer from the beginning. The devil didn't leave Jesus alone. He didn't leave Paul alone. He didn't leave the apostles alone. And he won't leave God's people alone either. How does the devil attack God? He attacks God through his people. But remember what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And along those same lines, St. Paul writes in our text, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you with even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. If they're enemies of the cross, well, then you are their enemies too. But he says their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So if you've been listening carefully, the strength to stand firm in the Lord, to face the enemies of the cross and stand, is the heavenly hope that we have in Christ Jesus. In baptism, you no longer belong to this world. You no longer serve your bellies. You now belong to Christ. And you serve him. As God's people, your citizenship is now in heaven. Heaven is your inheritance now. And when Jesus returns, it will be your eternal possession. So your strength to stand in the Lord comes from this hope, this knowledge that all believers live twice. In other words, your God is a God who can raise the dead. The devil can take your possessions. He can take your jobs, your homes, even your earthly lives. But he can't take the most important possession of all from you. And that is the gift of eternal life in Jesus. For your citizenship is in heaven. John Bradford had this kind of hope when he said to that prisoner next to him, be of good comfort, brother, for we shall have a merry supper with the Lord this night. Second, you have the strength to stand firm because you have God's word in its truth and purity. God's word endures forever. And those who stand on God's word endure forever as well. And in this world of trouble, the word of God is your source of wisdom and truth and understanding. That's why the word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. Because as the sword of the Spirit, the word of God slices through the devil's lies and deceit and exposes them for what they are. Filth. Filth that kill and destroy. So the person who has Christ and his word cannot be destroyed by the devil's and his allies. The very same word that promises you eternal life through Jesus Christ is the word that also gives you comfort and strength and encouragement to stand in this world of darkness and sin and lies and to stand firm. And so Paul encourages young Timothy, But as for you, continue what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, during his imprisonment in the Tower of London, John Bradford put himself into the Word of God. There he found hope and comfort and truth, even in that bleak place. And even in that bleak place, he then preached the gospel to other prisoners to give them hope and comfort and encouragement. Third, you have the strength to stand firm because God has given you fellow believers, your Christian brothers and sisters, who themselves are faithful with you, who suffer with you, who encourage you and pray for you and watch out for you. It's been said that no man is an island, and that couldn't be more true for Christians. God has intentionally gathered his people into congregations for mutual support and consolation. It's true. We're sinners. Even in the Christian congregation. Luther said, you know, where God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel. And indeed, we will hurt each other. We'll succumb to the devil's temptations. But we live under the cross of Christ. That means we live under the power of forgiveness. And we live under that promise of life eternal. And in that forgiveness and in those promises from Scripture, we encourage one another. We rebuke one another. We pray for one another. We rejoice with one another. We suffer with one another. But above all, we help one another to stand firm in the Lord, to endure even unto death. And in and through each other, we see the love of God at work, being able to share a cell and then a stake with his fellow Christians. John Bradford certainly found comfort and strength and hope, knowing that he wasn't alone. But you might say with all honesty, Pastor, I don't have the strength to stand firm. My flesh is weak and the powers against me are strong. And that is true. None of us has the strength to stand firm on our own. But you have the strength to stand firm because you have a Savior who is strong when you are weak, who stands firm when you falter, who is faithful when you are not. Nothing could stop Jesus from going to Jerusalem, where he knew he would die, where they killed the prophets and stoned those whom God sent to preach his word. In Luke's gospel, the Lord says to his enemies, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Our Savior knew why he came to earth. Our Savior knew why he was making that journey to Jerusalem. And nothing could stop him. Nothing in all of creation could stop him from completing the mission that his Father in heaven had sent him to do, to suffer and die on the cross, to defeat God's enemies and your enemies. You have the strength to stand firm because you have the one who is strong, the one who did stand firm, the one who has overcome all things, Jesus Christ. And though he died, yet he rose again. And as our risen Savior, he lives and reigns to all eternity. Which means he is with you always, as he promised. He will never leave you or forsake you. And to help you stand firm, Jesus has given you gifts. The greatest gift of which is his own body and his own blood. There in that sacrament, the Lord's Supper. The very body Jesus gave, the very blood he shed, he gives to you to help you stand firm in this world of darkness and sin. To forgive your sins, to comfort you, to encourage you, to empower you to live in the one true faith until life everlasting. Standing firm in Christ, you can stand firm in the world. And this dying world needs Christians to stand firm, to confess the truth in an age of lies, and to be Christ's light in an age of darkness. When the Roman Empire-wide persecution of Diocletian ended in the year 310, edicts went out that bore titles like this. After the destruction of the name of the Christians who wanted to overthrow the empire, and after the completed destruction everywhere of the Christian superstition, they were celebrating their victory over Christianity. But were these titles accurate? Was it true? No. As faithful Christians stood firm in the Lord and were felled by all kinds of heinous tortures and instruments of death, the Christian church grew. The early church theologian Tertullian observed, "The more they cut us down, the more we become. The blood of martyrs is seed." Ultimately, enemies of the cross, for them their end is destruction, because their God is their belly. They worship themselves, but not so for you. Your end is resurrection. Your God is Jesus, and you worship and serve him, the one who stood firm against your enemies and God's enemies. And because of Jesus, your citizenship is now in heaven. And the love of God in Christ Jesus helps you to stand firm. In Jesus' name. Amen.